Amen. Thank you, Brother Hawkins. What a blessing the program was. I'll tell you, it's always so exciting, and really the song Brother Hawkins just sang kind of sums it all up. You know, that one lost sheep, God cares about the one. Praise the Lord for that. You know, we always look at the numbers and worry about this, and God sends Deacon Philip out in the desert to find one. You know, he leaves a great revival, but he goes out to find one. And boy, don't ever forget, we need to find that one lost sheep, and that is such a blessing. I love this passage of Scripture. Last couple of years, the Shepherd's Program, I've sat and listened and just been so excited about what they were doing. And then I looked at my message, and I said, this just doesn't seem to fit. And so I'd sit and I'd rewrite a message while they were doing their program. And so this year I got smart and I got what they were doing ahead of time. And I'll tell you, it makes all the difference in the world. Didn't have to rewrite the message. And so that's good. Philippians 1 is our text. And of course the songs for the Shepherd's Program were all about heaven. And I've been thinking about heaven. I've been looking over the songs and some of my favorite songs. And we're just going to talk about heaven for a few minutes. And Paul, he's talking here in verses 21 to 26. He makes it sound like he actually has a choice in the matter. You know, like, I could stay and you'd like me to stay because I'm a blessing. We're friends and we're close. And we love each other. And I know you don't want me to go, but boy, to go on to heaven, that'd sure be a good thing. It's almost like he can make the decision, which we can't really make that decision. But that's what the passage is about. But I call your attention to verse 23. And again, he makes it sound like he has a choice in this. He says, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. But here's what he says, which is far better. And I want to talk to you about those two words just for the next few minutes here, far better. Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts and give us what we need today from your word. Thank you so much for the Shepherd's Ministry. Thank you for these dear people that come to our church Sunday mornings, and many of them come Sunday night and Wednesday night, and thank you that they're here. And I believe that, Lord, you bless our church because of that ministry in many, many ways. And so please now, you've let them sing, you've let them quote Scripture, and prepared our hearts, Lord, for your word. So use your word now in our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And Paul says in verse 21, he says, to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, but he says to die is gain. Death is gain. Brother Mike Cook, and he does an excellent job with the Shepherd's Ministry. He made a statement, said several of our shepherds have gone to heaven in the last year, and they have. I was watching, we call him Wild Bill, Bill Fennell. He's had cancer for I don't know how many years now, and he's up here. He's getting his perfect attendance award and everything, and you know, to talk about heaven, they really believe there's a heaven. They get excited about heaven. You hear them singing about heaven. Somebody said, I think Brother Campbell said, he looked up and he said, wouldn't you like to have all these folks in the congregation, in the service? I said, oh, I'll tell you what, I love their spirit. I go there, like I say, every fifth Sunday, and their spirit. They just really believe there's a heaven. Now, I look out and some of you don't believe there's a heaven. I'm serious. It's like, oh, it's over. You know, the end is near. And well, if the end is near, heaven's near. I mean, if the end is heaven, then heaven's near. That's what Paul says. He said, to die is gain, he says. And how can that be? Well, because death in the Bible, if you ever really notice, to the Christian, God uses words like to depart. To depart. I mean, my wife and I, we went away for a few days, and we've gone several places. We had to depart. That doesn't sound so bad, does it? Honey, we're going to depart. Well, you know, that doesn't sound real bad. That's how God talks about death. He says it's to depart. He says it's sleep. I'll be honest with you. Sleep sounds real good right now. Amen. Amen. I mean, you know, the Baptist nap could not sound any better than it does right now. And sleep doesn't sound bad, does it? You're going to die. Oh, that sounds terrible, but you're going to sleep. Well, that doesn't sound too bad. Doesn't sound bad at all, does it? You're going to die someday. That sounds terrible, but you're going to depart. No, it doesn't sound too bad. Then he talks about this. He says, to be with Christ. There's death with Christ for the Christian. With Christ. That doesn't sound bad at all, does it? Doesn't sound, oh, we're going to die someday. Oh, I'm scared of that. Well, how about if I just say you're going to be with Christ someday? What? That's not so bad. Doesn't sound so bad. The Bible says, present with the Lord. That's a description of death. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, that absent from the body, that scares us a little bit. We've never done it before. I know you had a dream one time and you saw light and all that kind of stuff happened and everything. I understand. But I'm just saying this, you know, present with the Lord, that doesn't sound so bad, does it? You're going to die. Ah! You're going to be present with the Lord. Ah, not so bad. That's how God describes death. In fact, in Psalm 23, quoted two times today, and excellent. By the way, fantastic job of quoting Psalm 23. But the Bible talks about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Have you ever been hurt by a shadow? Hello? Come on, wake up, folks. It'll be okay. It's Sunday morning. Shadows don't hurt you, do they? The shadow of the train passed by, but the shadow doesn't hurt you. It can't hurt you. Shadow cannot hurt anyone. And you know what? For the Christian, death can't either. It's just a shadow. That's all it is. It's a shadow. Shadows can't hurt anyone. And so God, when he describes death, it's really a departure from here to go there. And that place, the Bible says very clearly, far better, which is far better. Paul says, you know, if I live in the flesh, there's few fruit of my labor and there's things I can do. He says, but I'm in a strait betwixt two. He said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He says, but for me to stay here is better for you. I can serve you. I can work for you. I can preach to you. I can teach you. But he said, boy, I'll tell you, no question about it. It's good to have my Sunday school class. It's good to have my my chariot route. It's good to be able to preach to you. It's good to testify for Jesus. It's good to serve the Lord here on this earth. But he said, heaven's far better. It is far better. And so in my mind, I thought, you know, okay, how is it far better? And I came up with four ways that it's far better. Number one, it's a far better place. It is a far better place. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us something there. I got totally messed up. What is it? A dwelling place. That wasn't that hard, was it? Listen to me. It's a land that is fairer than here. It's far better than here. It's a place that is better. The shepherds sang a song about it being a happy place. I like that. I was watching them while they sang. They mean it too. It's a happy place. Some of you, tell your face it's a happy place. You know, we have funeral services and we sorrow, the Bible says, but we sorrow not as those that have no hope. Why is that? Well, because our loved ones in a happy place. They're in a wonderful place. And it's a glorious place. It's a place that is far better than here. Boy, we just had this weather, you know, that we just had. And those storms and my wife and I, we were in the Chicago area and the wind was blowing and raining and it all came here. And we look out and it's nasty out there. And of course, it's just the beginning of winter, amen? And, you know, there'll be snow and it'll drift and the wind will blow and you'll slide off on the on the road and everything. And it's going to be tough. You know, in heaven, it's just going to be absolutely perfect. How about those couple of weeks before all this mess that came through? Wasn't that great? Blue sky, 70 degrees, perfect. Huh? Heaven's always perfect. Every day's perfect. You don't even have to watch a weather report in heaven. It's just always perfect. Always. Always exactly the way it's supposed to be. It's a perfect place. The people in the Bible, in Hebrews 11, it's the chapter of faith. Look at it real quick. Hebrews chapter 11. And it just kind of kept the folks going. Hebrews 11 verse 10, there's all kinds of bad things that happen. We're not going to go through the whole chapter, but there's all kinds of bad things that are happening, all kinds of tough things that are happening. But notice what they did. In verse 10 of Hebrews 11, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. They're all looking for a city. They're all looking for another place. They're all looking forward to another place. I mean, you have to understand, folks, there is a better place. And if we would just get our minds focused on the idea that this is not it. Oh, if this was it, no wonder people are so miserable. I mean, seriously, if the economy, this is it? Oh, it's just all over. I can understand why you'd mope around. I can understand why, nothing's good. But this isn't it. Get your eyes focused on a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. How do you make it, Abraham? How do you make it? Well, I'm looking for a city. That's how I make it. I'm looking for what God has for me. That's how I make it. You know, I understand the world not having hope. I understand the lost person committing suicide. I understand a drug addict committing suicide. I understand a drunkard killing himself. I understand all that. And I wish they wouldn't do it. And I wish we could reach them before they did it. But I will never understand a Christian walking around with his head down, his lower lip dragging on the ground, scooping up everything out of this old earth that the world has to offer, and not rejoicing. Heaven is a happy place, and that's where we're going. You know, Abraham's excited. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Amen. And were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed. Look, when you start realizing this isn't it, and when you start realizing the song, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. Hey, when you get a hold of that and you let that get a hold of you, you all of a sudden you see them afar off and you're persuaded of them and you embrace them and then you confess. We're just strangers and pilgrims here. We're not here for very long. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. That's why, look, that's our biggest problem. We get attached to this body. We've had it all our lives. I'm trying to make it simple. I mean, you know, we get attached to this thing. And you know, here's the thing. And praise God for aging. Sort of. Yeah, you look in the mirror and, oh, look, a new wrinkle. Yeah, a lot of new wrinkles, amen? And you get out of bed and you say, oh, wow, that wasn't there yesterday. Yeah, I know. And aches and pains and wrinkles and things quit working and they go haywire and you go to the doctor and he says you got to do this and you got to do that and all those kind of things. You know what all that's, it's getting you unattached from the body. It's getting us unattached, amen? I mean, don't get too excited about your body. I think that's why God let all my hair fall out. Because perfection will be in heaven. We'll all be bald. Women, men, no, I'm just kidding. But some of you, no, it can't be. But, they understood something when they looked ahead. They understood as they looked at the promises of God. They understood they did not receive the promise of heaven, not until they died, but they died in faith looking for that promise. And they embraced that promise, and they were persuaded of that promise, and they realized something. This isn't it. This isn't it. Hey, for those of you who believe this is it, no wonder you're miserable today. No wonder you read about the economy and you really count on all that kind of stuff that you're hearing. No wonder you're discouraged. I understand that. Hey, this isn't it. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. How'd they make it? They're looking for heaven. They knew heaven was coming. Read the book of Acts. You know what was exciting in the book of Acts over and over and over again? How the people kept going in persecution. How they kept going when their family was split up. How they kept going when their church was shut down. How they kept going when the pastor had his head cut off. How they kept, you say, amen, brother. How they kept going when Ananias and Sapphira died because they lied about their tithe. You're going to cut my head off? We'll talk about Ananias and Sapphira a little bit and how they were drug out of the room. But listen to me. You know how they kept going? The resurrection. Because he lives, we live. Because this isn't it. Because there's life. Amen. It's eternal life. It's life in a better place. Amen. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, perfect climate. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. I've been thinking about Ed Heitz recently, did his funeral just a week and a half ago. And, you know, you think about him as he's running down those streets of gold. And I thought about Roger this morning as the shepherds were having their program. Thought about how Roger so faithfully week after week after week after week after week served and worked with the shepherds. And he's in heaven now running up and down those streets of gold. It's a perfect place. It is a far better place. Number two, it's a far better prospect. Notice what he said in verse 21. He said back in Philippians 1, he said, "For to me to live is Christ." That's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. But he said, "To die is gain." To die is gain. The song that was sung this morning, "Heaven for Me." Brother Tim Kirkland came up, did a good job. And they sang that song, "Heaven for Me." That's so good. I go, you say, "Oh, no, no, heaven's for the angels and heaven's for these people." No, no, no. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." That's how I know there's a chocolate pond in my yard where my mansion sits. He said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." Now, I'm not talking about Splenda chocolate. I'm talking about real sugar chocolate. In fact, I plan on there being sugar licks all around the property. Amen? I'm excited about that. Hey, he said, "I go to prepare a place." You say, "Well, I don't care about that." Praise God, you can have a cabbage lick if you want one. You can have lettuce licks all you want. I don't care about that. I'm going to have sugar lick, and I'm going to have T-bone steak licks all over the place. Amen? I'm excited. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." It's for you. The prospect. It's a far better prospect than we could ever imagine for. Huh? It's what we hope for. It's what Abraham looked for. It's a far better place, but it's a place for me. Place for me. Amen. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And again, we get attached to this body. But this world is not my home. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Here's the thing. He's going to prepare a place for us. And so he's doing all that preparation, but something has to happen to us. I mean, you sit here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not prepared. You're not ready. Something has to happen to you. Something had to happen to me. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. And by the way, Paul talked about this and talked about it often. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." The Bible says God's eyes are so holy, he cannot look upon sin. So you know what? We're not going to enter into heaven with our sin. Not possible. Cannot happen. Won't be any sin in heaven. You say, "Oh, how could I go to heaven?" I'm so glad you asked. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. The Bible says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." Cannot happen. Not going to happen. You say, "God's preparing a mansion for me?" You need to be saved first. You need to get rid of, you can't go in with flesh and blood. Something's got to happen to you. Flesh and blood isn't going to get into heaven. That's not going to happen. Something else has to happen. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Notice verse 47. Keep your place here. 1 Corinthians 15. "The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven." Now, the first man is Adam, and he's of the earth. We know that. God scooped up some dirt and breathed life into it, and there's man. That's you. That's me. That's who we look like. Amen. We look like our daddy, Adam. Amen. That's who we are. But the second man is the Lord from heaven. God says, "Now, you got to look like the Lord. You can't look like earth. You got to look like the Lord." Well, something's got to happen. He said, if you're going to inherit heaven, you're going to have to be heavenly, and you're going to have to be born into the heavenly family. Oh, yeah. Well, why? Because we bear the image. He says in verse 48, "As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy." That's us. We're dirt. Amen. That's what God says. "And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly." So you have the first man, Adam. He's earthy. That's who we've That's great, 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 grandpappy Adam. All right, we're all related to him. We look like, look in the mirror, you're dirt. That's who we are. You know, it doesn't matter if you're white dirt, dark dirt. You know, it doesn't matter. You're dirt. That's what we, every one of us. We're earth, earthy. "And as is the heavenly," that's Jesus, okay? Wow, I need to look like that. Yeah, "they also that are heavenly." And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Yeah, as we look, wherever David is, I think he's probably backslid. He's somewhere. Dave, where are you? Goofing off. That's what I figured. Anyway, he looks kind of like me. I'm his dad. And we kind of look alike. And it's amazing. You look at fathers and sons and mothers and daughters, and it's amazing. You could say, isn't so-and-so your dad? Isn't such-and-such your mom? Or aren't you them? You know, that's what sometimes people think. And we look alike. Guess what? Every one of us look like Adam. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Isn't that bad? Yeah, that's earthy. Well, in order to get to heaven, we got to look like Jesus. How are we going to do that? You must be born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, wait a minute, how can I do that? Oh, you're not born the same way you were born the first time of the water. You're born of the Spirit. How do I do that? I'm glad you asked. You call upon Jesus Christ to save your soul. And He'll save your soul and you are born again. And guess what? Then we have potential. Then we start looking like Jesus. Something had to happen. It's a better, far better prospect. So in other words, if I stay earthy, I'm just earthy, right? Yeah, and you die and go to hell. If you've never been saved, that's exactly what's going to happen. You must be born again. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and call upon Him to save you, and He will save you, and then it's true. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. There it is again. Two times there, we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. In other words, I was born corruptible. Now I've got to put on incorruption. I was born mortal. Now I've got to put on immortality. And the only way to do that is to be born into His family, which is immortality. To be born into His family, which is incorruptible. I've got to be born into that family. And the way I do that is not joining church, not getting baptized, not doing all kinds of works things. It's by calling on Jesus Christ to save me and change me. And He'll do that. And at the age of 17, that's exactly what I did. Amen. That's what you need to do today if you're not saved. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, here it is, death is swallowed up in victory. That's why death isn't any big deal to a Christian. Oh, death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a far better prospect. What's that mean? That means that I get saved, I trust Jesus as my Savior, and I start to become like Him. I start to become like my daddy. I start to look like Him. I start to become like Him. And one of these days, bless your heart, when this body's gone, that's why don't hang on to your body so much. I'm not saying kill yourself. I'm not saying hope to die. I'm just saying this. When this old fleshly body's gone, I'm gonna be like Jesus. Amen. And so are you. Now, what's that? What's all that mean? Well, you know, that means there's going to be no more sin. No more bad thoughts. No craving sin. By the way, that's why there's no tears. There's no sorrow. There's no heartache in heaven. None of that. No jealousy. No envy. None of that. You're not going to think a bad thought in heaven. It's just going to all be good. Amen. Amen. But you have to be saved. That's where it all starts. What a prospect that is. No sin. Think about that. No sin. Already you've had sinful thoughts today. Already you've been frustrated. Here I am in church. Why am I thinking that? You know, already you're frustrated. Here we are driving into church and we're arguing. You know, here we are walking in the doors of our church and we're in the middle of a big fight. And you know, in heaven there won't be any of that. In heaven, everybody's going to get along. In heaven, everybody's going to love one another. There will be no tears. There will be no sorrow. There will be no more pain. It's a far better prospect. Far better place. Far better prospect. Number three, far better people. You know why? Because we're all like that. Isn't that good? Amen. Oh, praise God. That means not only am I not a sinner, you're not either. Isn't that amazing? Just think about that for a minute. Brother Hollins, all those bad things you think about me, you won't think those bad things in heaven. He doesn't really.
Well,
You know, listen, folks, that is such an awesome thing. Now just think about this, all right? Now, you ought to be glad that you're not a sinner. But nobody else is either in heaven. Amen. Isn't that going to be fun? You won't have to wonder what anybody's thinking because they're always thinking good things. Brendan and I got in this conversation. We won't get too deep into it here, but we got it because we had lots of time, and we just talk, and we philosophize on a lot of things, and we got in, and I told her, I said, you don't want to know what I'm thinking, and I don't want to know what you're thinking. And she said, honey, I think it'd be all right if you knew what I was thinking. I said, really, all the time? And she said, oh, I think it'd be okay. And I said, what about when you don't agree with something I say? And she goes, well, I think it'd be okay. I said, I don't think it'd be okay because I don't want to know that you don't agree. Amen. Right? I mean, you husbands, amen, right? You don't want to know what your wife's all. You know, you just want her to smile and say, the Lord knows. Right? I mean, that's what I like. I like to hear that. Now, I always think, I wonder what she's thinking. I don't want to know. I really don't. Especially when she's right, which every now and then. It's such a rare thing. Listen to me. There will be no bitterness. There will be no anger. There will be no envy. There will be no jealousy. There will be no surmising. None of that. It's a far better people. Amen. Notice the text here in verse 23. Here's what Paul said. He said, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, be with Christ, which is far better. But watch what he says. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. You know, it's nice to be loved. Nice to be needed here on this earth. Amen. That's a good thing. I mean, that's why Paul said, you know, I love you, and I want to keep working with you, and I want to keep teaching you. He said, that's why I'm in a strait betwixt two. But understand this, for whatever good relationships you have here on this earth, and we do have them as Christians, praise the Lord, we do have them. I think about our staff, and boy, praise the Lord, I was gone, and it was boss's day, and I got a nice card and a gift, and what a wonderful relationship, and what a blessing that is. But understand, in heaven, it's perfect relationships, absolutely perfect. I 35 years of marriage, it's been wonderful, and I cannot imagine not having a good marriage. But in heaven, it will be a perfect relationship. Yeah, far whatever you have here, it'll be far better there. See, I get along with people real well. In heaven, you get along with people perfectly. Brother Chase says, hey, Brother Rogers, can I come and take a dip in your chocolate pond? Brother Chase, that'll be just fine. Woo-hoo! Go ahead and eat half of it. That's fine with me. Could I come? Brother Tim, he says, Brother Rogers, he says, I don't think they'll call me pastor there. He says, Brother Rogers, he says, do you care if I come and visit your T-bone steak lick path? Sure, Tim, it's fine. Go ahead. And we're just having a good time. Some of you need to get a sanctified imagination. Amen? I mean, understand, my dad's there, my mom's there, my best friends, the best friends I've ever had are already there. Some of the best deacons I've ever had, they're already there. Co-workers, they're already there. And the very best thing about the people in heaven is, we'll be with the Lord. Amen. Isn't that something? With Christ. He said, having a desire to depart and be with Christ. And we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. I was thinking about Brother Height's funeral, and we sang the song in the garden. Yes, we walk with Him, and we talk with Him, but there's not going to be anything comparable to the fact that He's right there. Wow, Lord, the nail print in your hands, that was for me. I mean, Brenda and I wrote letters and letters and letters when we were dating, and we're really hoping to find those letters before we die, lest someone else finds them. But anyway, we wrote all these letters to one another, and we made phone calls. I mean, I remember, the pay phone. Remember feeding them dimes? You know, and talking on the pay phone. No, young people, there were no cell phones back in those days. They didn't even think about cell phones. That was on the Jetsons that we saw cell phones. We had no clue what a cell phone was, but we'd get on the phone every opportunity we had, and the phone bill would go up, and it would continue to go up, and letters and phone calls, but nothing could compare to when we were together in person. And thank you. And I'm telling you, folks, we walk with Jesus and we talk with Jesus. And he tells us that we're his own, and it's so wonderful. And his word is such a comfort to us. And his Holy Spirit is such a guide in our lives. But we're going to be with him. We're going to be with him. It's a far better place. It's a far better prospect. It's a far better people. But the last thing, it's a far better peace. Now, God gives peace here. I'm always amazed. It's a peace that passeth understanding. You can't even understand it. I see it most of the time. I've seen it in the midst of trials. I see it in a hospital room. I'll see that peace that God gives. I'll see it at funerals many, many times. I've watched so many people, funerals. Just, it amazes me, the peace that God gives to somebody. And what a blessing. God's given me that peace so many times. But understand this. Most of the time, when we see that peace and we say, wow, it's just amazing to me, it's in the midst of trouble. I want you to try to remember something and think of something. There is no trouble in heaven. There's no CNN, NBC, CBS, no news reports, no USA Today, bad report, bad report, bad report. We don't have to worry about Gaddafi we don't have to worry about him here either. But we don't have to worry about him there either. Are you listening? No bad reports. No bad weather report. Tornado headed this way. Don't have to worry about that. No alerts, no alarms, nothing. Are you listening? You know, there are doctors in heaven, praise God. You know, sometimes we preachers get excited and we say, bless God, there will be no funeral directors in heaven. You know, and I say that at funerals and they look at me like, we'll be there. But they won't have that job. And the doctor won't, we won't need them to have that job. We won't need nurses, amen? In heaven, nobody's going to get hurt. It's not going to be any problem. Now, we need nurses there. We just don't need you to be a nurse there. Okay, we'll let you check our pulse for the fun of it, amen, just so you can do it. Bring a stethoscope, I don't care. But look, I'm just saying this. I'm saying there's no trouble. We know peace because God gives it to us in the midst of trouble. Understand, that same peace will be there, and there is no trouble. Amen. Ever. Wow. Whew. The Bible says, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. Praise God for that. Isn't that wonderful? In other words, whatever happens during that day, God gives you strength to handle it. Every day. Every day. Our biggest problem is we worry about yesterday. And I don't get strength for yesterday. I get strength for today. Or we worry about tomorrow. Oh, 2012, it's over. That's not. Look, listen to me. But God's not giving you strength for tomorrow. He's giving you strength for today. And that's our biggest problem. Honestly, most of us, we're wanting that strength for tomorrow because we're gloom and doom. And he'll give you strength when you need it. Amen. You know what? When the sun falls down on your lap, he'll give you strength to handle it. Amen. When the comet finally hits, you know, God will give you strength to deal with that. Hello. When the tidal wave sucks away the whole East Coast, God will give you, you know, right to the edge of Adrian. We say, bye. You know, God will give you strength to handle all that stuff. Amen. When that happens, okay, when the epidemic takes over and all of us are sick, he'll give you strength to handle it. Don't worry about it. But guess what? In heaven, there aren't any days like that. That promise won't, we won't need that promise. Why? Because every day is a good day. There aren't any trials. There aren't any problems. You don't have any aches and pains. Glory to God. You don't have that ache or that pain and all of a sudden wonder, is this it? I had a cold this week and I'm so rarely sick. It's such a rare thing. It catches me really off guard. And in the middle of the night, I woke up and couldn't breathe because I have asthma anyway. And so anytime I get a chest cold of any kind, it affects my asthma. And I woke up and I'm going, and I'm thinking, is this it? In heaven, we'll never think that. You know why? There won't be any. There won't be any. Or as some of you do, won't be any of that. None of it. Think about that. It won't happen. It'll never now look, you got to get a glorified imagination here, because that's what they did in Hebrews 11. They're the people of faith. You know why they're rejoicing? You know why during trial they're praising God? You know why they're singing songs about heaven? Because the resurrection, it's not over when it's over here. It just starts. And there's a far better peace. There is. There's nothing to fret in heaven. Nothing. Nothing from the past. Nothing from the future. It's gone. Praise God. Complete, perfect peace. Far better. Far better. Far better place. Far better prospect. Far better people. A far better peace. Now I ask you this question. You know, you say, oh, just everything. Listen to me. Think about heaven. That's what the shepherds want you to do. That's what Brother Cook gets up and he says, you know, several shepherds have gone to heaven. And you know, honestly, there are it's sad to say, there's a lot of people say, oh, you know, that's sad, but you don't really think about it. Because shepherds hurt and they miss their friends just like you do. And so what Mike say? He said, so we've been talking about heaven. And they sing, heaven's a happy place. Somebody say, well, you know, I know a lot of them. They're probably thinking they'll be like us. I hope not. Amen. Listen, folks, it's far better. Far better. Now, what if you had a choice? Huh? You know, that's kind of the way Paul put it. He said, you know, I'm kind of thinking, you know, I'd rather be in heaven, you know. I don't want you to try to enhance your opportunity to get to heaven. But here's the thing I do want you to do. Make sure you're going. Make sure you're going. Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Oh, listen, that's why Jesus came and died on the cross, so we could be saved, so we could have a new life. The prospect, it's such a far better prospect. If all you got to think about, I'm just going to grow old, I'm getting wrinkly and old and can't hardly move, arthritis, and one of these days rigor mortis is going to start setting in. Yeah, it is. There's no question about that. Yeah, if that's all you're looking for, no wonder you are so grouchy. But if you know this isn't it, I'll tell you what, you need to rejoice and praise the Lord today. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Far better. Do you have that far better place in your future? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many would say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Raise your hand. You're not sure you're saved. Anyone like that? Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. God bless you, son. God bless you. Please get saved today. In a moment, we'll give an invitation. We'll let you come. Somebody will take a Bible and show you how to know for sure you're going to heaven. Thank you. God bless you. A couple fellows. Appreciate that. Someone else say, I don't know. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Pray for me, preacher. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Father, bless the invitation. I pray you've given us some comfort and some hope today. But especially I pray for anyone who's not saved. And a couple folks, Lord, you know their hearts. They're not sure. Please save them today. Help them not to leave until they've trusted Christ as Savior, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The instruments play, Jesus, I come. And God's speaking to your heart today, and you need to be saved. You come and be saved. You're a Christian. God's dealing with you about something today. You come as God leads you, as the instruments play.